What was the title of this sermon out on the board out there? Remember what it said? And who is the ye? What in the world does a ye mean? Ricky, that's an old English word that means you. You cannot come. Who in the world was talking in that text? That was Christ was talking, wasn't it? And he was talking to a couple of different class of people that we will discover. Now in John 6:38, let's find a little bit about Jesus. And what does that verse say? John chapter 6 and verse 38. When you get that, just sort of raise your hand. We'll have you read it to the congregation. John 6 and verse 38. Go ahead. All right, now who's talking in that verse? And where in the world did he say he came from? He says he came down from heaven. King James says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." So in Matthew 6, verse 1 and Matthew 6, verse 9, would someone read that one? Matthew 6, verse 1 and Matthew 6, verse 9. Matthew 6, 1. Someone have that one? She says, "From your Father in heaven." The way the King James reads that is, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them." That would be a wrong purpose, wouldn't it? "Otherwise you have no reward of your Father," and it says, "which is in heaven." So according to that verse, where is the Father? In heaven. In Matthew 6, 9, I'll read this one. Jesus is talking again, and he says, "After this manner, therefore pray ye." This is where Jesus is teaching us how to pray. A lot of the churches are telling us that this is the Lord's Prayer. But is it the Lord's Prayer? This is the prayer that we're to pray, isn't it? And he says, "After this manner, therefore, pray who? Ye." Now, Ricky, who is ye? You. This is how you're to pray. It says, "Our Father," what? "Which art where? In heaven. And hallowed be thy name." What does hallowed mean? That's as sacred as you can get. Complete purity. God has never sinned. Not even by a thought. Can you imagine never having a bad thought? And this is God. And he's our Father. Jesus calls him our Father. And he says that he's in heaven. Sound like we're teaching what the Sabbath school lesson should have been teaching, doesn't it? We're talking about heaven now. In the Sabbath school lesson, we kind of talked about what happens to us when we die. I guess those go hand in hand. Eventually. Do we have to die to get to heaven? Well, when you talk about humanity in total, we find that you do not have to die to get to heaven. Because we discovered that some people are going to be living when Jesus comes, right? And they will be able to go to heaven. But let's go down here now. And this is kind of a long verse. So I'm going to read this one, but it's found in the book of 1 Kings. It's way back in the Old Testament. First Kings chapter 8. And we're just laying some background material here. 1 Kings 8, and then verses 28 to 30. listen to that. So far, we've learned that Jesus came from where? And we are taught to pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven. And if we do our alms, it says to take heed how we do them, not to be seen of others, because we will have no reward of our Father, which is in heaven. That's what we've learned, in heaven. All right, so let's read this 1 Kings 8:28-30, King James Version. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication. What he's saying there is that he's talking to the Lord and he says, Lord, I want you to listen to my prayer. That means have respect to my prayer. Now, what prayers does God not listen to? Well, that'll be good. What prayers does God not listen to? Remember the Bible says? If I regard iniquity in my heart, what? The Lord will not hear me. That means that if I know that I'm doing wrong and I'm not doing anything about it, what good is it going to do to ask for a new car? What good is it going to do for me to ask God to do anything? Because if God knows that you are deliberately sinning and deliberately not repentant, then he becomes an enabler for you to continue to do wrong. It's kind of like our children, if they're on drugs, or if they're stealing, or if they're just mean children, and we don't do anything about it, we become enablers. We encourage them to continue to do that. So let's listen. So it says, yet have respect unto the prayer of your servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God. He said, please listen to me and hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which your servant prays before you today, that your eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which you have said, my name shall be there, talking about the church building, that you may hearken, that means listen, to the prayer which your servant shall make toward this place, and listen to the supplication of your servant, and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou, that means please listen, in heaven, thy dwelling place. So what is heaven now? The dwelling place of God the Father, isn't it? So when we think about wanting to go to heaven, we don't want to think about, man, I want to get in that river of life. Man, I want to climb that tree of life. Man, I want to eat that fruit of life. Man, I want to plant those vineyards. Man, I want to walk on those streets of gold. Why do we want to be there? Because of God is there. Because of his righteousness. Because of his purity. To no longer have this guilt on us that we are freed from sin and we're going to enjoy living that way. So it says that God's dwelling place is where? In heaven. That's in 1 Kings chapter 1, 8, we just read. All right. Now we're going to John chapter 20 and verse 17. So if Jesus came down from heaven and the Father is in heaven and his dwelling place, what is a dwelling? What is a dwelling? What is that? What's another word for it? Huh? That's where his house is, isn't it? Does Jesus ever say anything about God's house? Well, he talks about that. Says, and my house shall be called what? A house of prayer. Does he say anything about it in John 14? You remember how that goes? In my, or what? Many mansions. So So in my Father's dwelling place, where is that? So in heaven there are what? Many mansions. And I'm going where? Heaven, to prepare a place for you. That where I am, why did Jesus say I am? He is the ever-present one, isn't he? All right, John 20 and verse 17. We're talking about so far that Jesus has come, but now we're talking about him going. And what did he say in John 20 and verse 17? And who was he talking to there? And what had just taken place around this verse? He's talking to Mary, probably Mary Magdalene, right? And Mary, his mother probably was there. There were three mothers. The third Mary was called what? Her name was Mary, but the Bible calls her that other Mary. I don't know who that lady was, but I'd be willing to be a female to be that other Mary, to be there. I was telling my wife this morning that all of us are of the species man. Just like at our house, we've got two dogs. They are dogs. One is a female and one is a male, but they are both what? Dogs. We are all of the species what? Man. But we have a female man and we have a male. Not a M-A-I-L, man, but a M-A-L-E, man, okay? So, I'd be willing to be this Mary, to be in this group that talking to Jesus at that time. Okay, so John 20 and 17, we're talking about going. Jesus said unto her, he says, touch me not. What had just happened to Jesus? He had just been resurrected. He gone anywhere? He says, touch me not, for I am not what? What does the sin to thee? How do you do that? Tell me how you do that. That's why nobody has gone. So touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to whom? Who do you think he's talking about? Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. By the way, did those women listen to that man? Okay. I go to you guys now, go to my brethren and say to them, I, Jesus, ascend unto my Father, and to whom? Your Father, that's our Father. That puts Jesus and you and me in the same family, because he called him what? My Father and your Father. We're in the family of God. Can you imagine that? And to what? My God and your God. So now we have found Jesus coming to heaven, God's dwelling places in heaven. And now he said that he is going to go up. And I keep saying, which direction is up? The Chinese are on the other side of the world. They're up and we down. Up is where Jesus is ascending. Descend any further than what we are. So now we know where Jesus is going to go. This will carry you. Now in John 3, 10 through 13, you can look in there. John chapter 3, 10 through 13. Now we know at least one man has ascended into heaven, don't we? And who is that man? Who is the man that ascended into heaven? Jesus, right? And why do we call him man? He's 100% man and 100% God, the only one like him, 100% divine. All right, so here we go. Jesus answered and said unto him, talking to Nicodemus. You remember Nicodemus? Who was Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a priest in the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin was a whole group of priests. They pretty well ruled things. And so Nicodemus was one of those who felt the picking of the Holy Spirit. And he wanted to know about this man. All of these stories of love, and joy, and peace, and miracles, and healings, and wonderful things. But the Sanhedrin wasn't thinking that. Why were they not thinking that? It's because the people were turning from the Sanhedrin to this Jesus. But this Holy Spirit was working. So he wanted to come see Jesus. And so he got in camel, and in broad daylight went to see Jesus, didn't he? What did he do? He waited till it was dark, till all those other guys had gone home to check him out. And so Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says, are you a master of Israel, and you don't know these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know. In other words, we talk about things we know. And we testify about things which we have seen, and we receive, and you don't receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you don't believe it, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And then what did he say? And no man has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven. Nobody. Nobody has gone to heaven but he who came down from heaven. Who was the one that he said came down from heaven? Jesus. Even the Son of Man. Now listen to this next few words now. The only one that went up is he that came down, but he says, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now how in the world is Jesus standing there talking to Nicodemus? Said, Son of Man is in heaven. What does that have to do with this? So Jesus made a mistake there, right? So far, he said three things there. He's the only one that has ever ascended to heaven, and that he came down from heaven, and that he is in heaven. That's kind of mind-boggling, isn't it? All right, let's go on. Continuing with John 10:13, that I've got here, how could he say that he is in heaven? Look at John 3 and verse 31. What does that look like? Susan, is that a King James or what do you read that? Well, let's see what the New King has to say. Oh. All right. That little term there is above all. Our planet, we have an individual. First of all, we have five. So would you think the most Holy Father would be above? This individual who came down from heaven is above all. That would include the one who claims to be the most Holy Father. So we are taught that Jesus is God, and that God is everywhere. Now, how many fathers does this race have? Malachi 2 and 10. Malachi chapter 2, verse 10, it reads, it says, have we not all one Father? Even this Apache. And what kind were you, sir? A Sioux. And then this redneck here. We all have what? One Father. And that makes us all brothers and sisters. And it makes us prince and princesses. For all the Father is Lord of lords, King of kings. Praise the Lord for that. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Is what it says in Malachi 2:10. In Isaiah 9 and 6, referring to Jesus, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is why Christ, who is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, can say, why he can say that he is in heaven. For God has a characteristic about him. What is it called? Omnipotent. Presence. What does omnipresence mean? Present everywhere at the same time. That is our God. Now, we get into the you cannot come. We have been told, Jesus told us, nobody has come to heaven but the Son who came down from heaven. Now let's read John 7, 32 and 34. 32 through 34. We know who this is talking. This Jesus who came, who is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and who is above all. John 7, verse 32 through 34, Jesus is talking to a group of people, and who are they called? The Pharisees. Are the Pharisees Christians? Are these people Christians? Are they believers of the teachings of Christ? Do they believe that he non-believers, aren't they? So this is what Jesus says to non-believers. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. So where is he going? What have we learned so far? Where is he going? Going to heaven, and heaven is what? The dwelling place of God, isn't it? So he says, a little while I'm with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You shall look for me, and shall not find me. Where I am, where would he be then? In heaven, in God's what? And God's dwelling place is in my Father's house, one of those mansions. You shall, and where I am, there you non-believers, what? Cannot come. So you can't come if you're a non-believer. You can't come to heaven, is what Jesus is saying. Can't come to God's dwelling place. Well, we believe that about non-believers. Otherwise, where would the devil be? He sure wouldn't be walking around down here, would he? Now, let's see what John says in chapter 8 and read 13 through 24. This is kind of long, but it's just one chapter over. John 8, beginning with verse 13. Who's he talking to still? The Pharisees therefore said unto him, you bear record of yourself. Your record is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know from where I came. Where did he come from? He came from heaven. And where I go. Where is he going? On heaven. But you cannot tell where I come from and where I am going. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet, if I were to judge, my judgment would be true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. That makes two, doesn't it? It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Where did he send him from? From heaven. Then they said to him, the Pharisees are talking, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you don't know me or my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Jesus was speaking, and he was talking and saying this in the treasury, in the temple. Nobody put any hands on him, because his time was not yet come. Then Jesus said again unto them, who's he talking to? The non-believers. He says, I go my way. What is his way? Back to heaven. I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall do what? Why will they be sinners when they die? What's the rest of it? He says, you will die in your sins, and where I go, where's he going? You cannot come. Then the Jews is talking about here now. They said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you can't come. And he said to them, you are from down beneath. I am from above. You're of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, you shall die in your sins. Why? Why will we die in our sins? What is a reason? What does it make? What does it say? For if you believe not that what? I am, that's God. If you don't believe that I am God, you shall do what? Die in your sins. Speaking to non-believers, Jesus says, you cannot come. You had an opportunity. I died for you. I lived a perfect life for you. I created a perfect world for you. I'm going to create another perfect world. It's for you. He said, no, you cannot come. Now, John 8, 13 through 33. John 8 and 30 or 31 through 33. Try looking at verse 30. And this talks about when he was having the Last Supper, and Judas had just taken and put his hand in the dish at the same time that Christ dipped in and was getting ready to go. It says, he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Verse 31 says, therefore, when he, Judas, was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Now, what does 33 say? How does it start? This is John. I'll show John 8. Is that not a correct chapter? Well, wherever it is, I'll put it down here as John 8. All right. Anyway, it reads like this. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Who would he be talking to there? Now the setting was at the Last Supper, if you can find that in John, find that, be late over there. Would that be John 18 perhaps? I didn't correct this. It's bad to tell people what the Bible says and not give them. Found it there. What I'm wanting you to get here is that he is now talking to believers. John 13. I got John 8. So John 13, and let's look at verse 31. Start with 31. Okay. And then we go to John 33. John 13 and 33. You got it now? Let me correct my paper. So Judas has just left and gone out into the dark. He's got to say it was night. So now in verse 33, he's saying what? Little children, who's he talking to? The disciples that were left there. He's now talking to believers. And let's see what he says. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. Did he tell the Pharisees that? He says, you shall seek me. And as I said, what? To the Jews, where I go, where is that? Heaven. Where I go, you what? You cannot come. That's what he said. He says, now I told the Jews that. So far, that's what he's telling the disciples. Now this is what I told the Jews, that where I go, you cannot come. And now how does he follow it up? What does he say? So now I say unto you. So now you find that believers and non-believers, there's no way for us to get to heaven unless Jesus takes us there. And when is Jesus going to take us there? My time's run out, and I'll shorten this sermon up. When is Jesus coming for us? You remember what it says there in let me just make one notation of the rich man and Lazarus. We know that's a parable. But in that parable, we are told in that parable that there is a great gulf fixed so that those who would go from torment to heaven, they can't get there. Or those who say, it's too good here, I can't stand all this good stuff, I'm going to go to hell. It says they can't go there either. But still the same story. So Jesus, in that parable, was saying still that there's no way that you can get there. But is there a way of getting there in John 14? What does John say in John 14? Huh? If you believe. But I go to prepare a place for you, and what? And if I go, I will do what? I'll come again, right? Why would Jesus be coming? What does receive you mean? Yeah, you gather them together unto yourself, that where I am, you can also be there. Now, why in the world did I have a sermon like this? Why is it important to know when you go to heaven? Because, I don't know where you put much stock in the writings of Ellen White or not, but she clearly states that there's going to come a time when spiritualism is going to be running rampant. Spiritualism is a belief that you can contact the dead, that you can communicate with the dead, and that Satan will have individuals that will portray themselves as your loved one. They will look like your departed mother or your departed baby. And those individuals will say, look, I'm in heaven, and what you're believing is not true. If you know what the scriptures say, and they tell you that they've been in heaven, that's not going to jive, is it? It's not going to jive. Now, I had here for Adam, where Adam was told by God, says, from dust you are, and unto dust shall you return. That's the only place people are going to go. But Jesus is coming, and no matter how ugly you think you are, every time we look at Christ, we see how beautiful he is and how ugly we are, but we also see the cross, and that makes it all worthwhile. We can be there because he says so. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we love you and we thank you for the simple way in which you help. Trade these deep truths in your word. We love you, and we give you our heart and our soul and our mind, and we pray for the gift of thy Holy Spirit to keep us all this day. And as we all leave at this place at this time, we thank you for having allowed us to meet you here this day, and pray that you'll continue looking after us. And we pray, if you will, Father, to give us the mind of Christ, that our thoughts and words and actions will be pleasing to you and will be safe enough to be used around your other children that may be looking for you. In Christ's name, we pray.